Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Explicit Measures podcast with Tommy, Seth, and Mike. We are back again with some more fun topics around Power BI. How's your week? I guess weekend. It's a Tuesday. So how was your weekend, everyone? Doing well?
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, fun. Good times.
Work is busy. Life is busy. What's going on?
Everything's busy.
Everything's busy.
Everything's busy.
All right. I'm putting a new training together myself. So a few different slides, a few 2-hour training sessions.
All right. Excellent.
Trying to put that together. It's like, it's always nice to put slides back together when you're like having to update it. Thanks, Power BI.
Now, are you speaking, you're updating some training. Is this online just for someone online?
So, awesome. Yeah, it's kind of the whole gambit. It's like doing the, I'm doing one on DAX data modeling, but then you have to update the images because you're like, oh, that looks like it's from 2019.
Hey, update your icons.
2019, good year.
Make sure your icons match.
Update your logos.
The logos.
We talked about this.
Yeah. We have talked about this. If you have a presentation with an old Power BI logo in it, and you know who you are, who has presentations out there.
You do too.
Yeah. I'm looking at you.
You better update your slides so it's a new logo. So it matches the new icon, logo, whatever the heck you want to call it these days for Power BI. Awesome.
But for a real gentleman, a happy Tuesday to you. Happy Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Just the beginning of the week, because, you know, the week doesn't really start until we talk to each other.
I'd agree with that. Yep.
Right? Like, Monday's just a warm-up.
I just try and survive Monday.
Getting back into the swing of things.
Yeah, exactly right.
I do have an enjoyable story to kick things off with, by the way.
Start us off.
So my wife started a new job.
Congratulations.
Kudos to the wife. Congratulations. Getting back into the workforce a little bit.
Awesome.
The new place uses Power BI.
Of course they do.
This past week, now awesome. Mind you, I've been like, before my wife got the job, I'm like, dude, let me teach you Power BI. Like, everybody's using it. It almost like the gateway drug. Never could convince her.
Yeah.
So she just texts me, and I walk upstairs, and she's like, I have this problem. A coworker sent me a PBIX file. Okay. I can't connect to the data sets. Oh, well, let me show you how to do that. Like, here, connect you. Oh, auth, right? Using a SharePoint.
Yep.
Good job, coworker. SharePoint folder location, not your personal.
Starting off right.
Like, why is she sending you the PBIX file? Are you modifying PBIX files already? Like, reports?
Yeah, day one already.
Yeah, right.
What's a PBIX file? No, she's just sharing the report with me. Like, this is kind of an inefficient way to do that. Why don't I show you how to do, you know, share the reports? She's like, oh, that'd be great, because she doesn't know how, and she was just asking me how she should share it.
Oh,
like,
my!
It's a good thing there's a whiteboard right here. Forget my job, man. The next 20 minutes, like, here's how you share. Here's how you publish.
Yep.
This is my workspace, your team's workspace. If she wants to automate things, she can do this. She's like,
deployment pipelines and be your friend.
Option two, option three. And like, so pretty soon she's going to be like the new
expert
person that is actually like doing all of these things on the front end.
So Power BI is a model-based tool.
So,
not a report.
Yeah. So
that's
so
true.
Today with our topic, I'm like, I started talking about it with her this morning. I'm like, oh, hey, we're talking about that. So maybe she'll start listening to the podcast.
We have one new
if
listener.
You do,
I'm sorry.
Sorry, wife. You get enough of me.
Well, allow me to be the first to say welcome and enjoy.
Welcome.
Yeah.
We're happy
to have you.
When we all get together and we have families talking about everything, my wife will be even further left out of the field because she does not do Power BI.
When mine knows the lingo.
Yours knows the lingo. So it'll be like basically all of us. Tommy, your wife doesn't do data things.
Oh, no. She's
a designer.
She despises it, but I mean, she listens. Yeah. She does the
Your wife and my wife can talk, and everyone else can have talks about.
Yeah, I know. When we're going, I know, right? Yeah.
Who's got better methods in sharing right now? Has anybody got a new method?
Have you seen that new method? Yeah.
Favorite feature. Let's
the
go.
Release plan.
Round table discussion. Favorite feature. Yeah. Let's go.
Did you see the blog this week, gentlemen?
Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right. Amazing. So that'll be super fun. Well, congratulations. That's super fun to have a good talking point, a conversation around that. Just don't overdo it, okay? Just, you know, sometimes we can talk about
Simmer down now.
Simmer down. Chill. Don't go overboard on it. You don't guarantee. You don't want to scare her away from power. Yeah,
right. Yeah. I'm all like that guy upstairs. Yeah, you need some help.
Yeah. Let me get you on a call. I know two guys. Come here. Come down to the basement.
Well, you see, episode 46 will be your best, your favorite. You want to go through 16 right. through 70, 75. You know, those are the
put together a playlist for you. Oh, I got some books.
Just put us on in the background. Yeah,
it'll be good. Get the views, listens up.
Oh, so. My goodness. Well, good. That'll be awesome. And Microsoft, I think, even touts the statistics of this. I think they say, of the Fortune 100 or Fortune 500 companies, all of them except two use Power BI. Because they have all the metrics on things or something ridiculous like that. So there's a lot of people use this tool, and it's pretty pervasive.
Well, what are the metrics, though? Is it somebody downloaded this?
Yeah, probably. doesn't hurt
sharing
when,
it.
Doesn't hurt
two.
When you're...
It counts.
If the program's free, I mean, you probably can figure it out. So
I thought you were going to say 20% of families use Power BI.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Microsoft, making families stronger.
Yes, exactly. Right. All right, today we're going to open up our book to Power Query, page 3.
Yeah, right.
Start reading from the beginning.
Oh, I've forced my wife to look at reports because when we moved to Chicago, I actually downloaded all like the housing data to see where was like the best town to live in terms of price and where it was going.
Did you inform you? Does it actually help your decision point where you're looking?
Yeah. Awesome. So, because we were still considering Florida or not, and Florida was so like just the trend. And did I warp the data so we didn't have to live in Florida?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Not saying.
Any houses that looked dilapidated.
Clearwater looks terrible. So, no, but I mean, we just kind of looked at everything, but I said, okay, this is what a Power BI report is. This is how we use it. This is how you can actually navigate to see what town to live in. So awesome. She knows it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and 20% of let's increase the number of families using Power BI in the Power platform.
I get a lot of questions from my kids about what is it that I do? How do I work data? Like, and so my daughter brought to me a worksheet yesterday afternoon. She's like, look at Dad, I'm doing lines and points. I was like, I love lines and points. Lines and points are what I do a lot of my work around. And she's like, really? Tell me more. And so I was given, you know, so she was doing lines, a line segment and a point and array, I guess is what they're studying right now in school. And I'm like, well, I don't really use, you know, lines or rays. That's not really how I use graphical design of things, but I use segments, line segments a lot. Points show up all the time in my things that I do. And she was just kind of really interested. It was kind of fun having her like ask more questions about, you know, how do I use these things and how do I put them on a report? And what does that mean to people?
Come here, let me teach you about
calculus. Yeah, right. Come, child, to the dungeon. Yeah. So I was like, show you lines and points on a graph.
So we immediately went
millions
to
of data points.
We immediately went to position and direction, and then is it up? Is it down?
There you go.
And is this report making you money
years ahead,
or saving you money? That's it right there. That's all you need to know, baby.
She writes on the test. I can't tell if this question's asking
my
me to save money.
My dad said,
this report
are you
sucks.
Saving money or making money?
And this test is doing
what
either.
About you, teacher?
Yeah. They'll love that.
Why am I graphing the number of candies people have eaten in my class? This is neither saving me or making me money.
How many hours are we saving with this?
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
That's awesome. Yeah, so anyways, it's been fun having those kind of conversations. All right, maybe we should go into our real topic of the day. This is a good topic.
Way fun.
I think this has been long overdue. I don't know why we didn't ever figure this one earlier or slip it into the schedule, but I think this is going to be a great topic. Today we're talking about Analyze in Excel, and what does that? How does it work? How do you use it? And how do you leverage that with Power BI? Kick us off, Seth. Kind of just give us some of the setting around what is. Just give us the framework. Setting up, analyzing Excel. What's the setup there? Give us, or what is it for people who don't know?
Analyze in Excel, I think now called data exploration in Excel, but
really, but they've changed the
Power
name.
Power BI is still analyzing Excel. I think Excel team changed their thing to get rid of it. So we'll see how long it takes to get this side caught up. Anyway. I digress. It's a feature in Excel that allows you to connect to the data set behind the scenes and analyze the data in different ways. So it's very useful from a preliminary or get your feet wet kind of understanding of what the data is behind the scenes of a Power BI report, but also allows you to rip it apart and analyze it in different ways on your own in pivot tables, right? Mm-hmm. So extremely good. And actually, I'll save that point. Extremely good from a exploration standpoint, understanding the data sets and deviating outside of what may already be in a Power BI report and canned for you to glean some more insights and kind of lets you drive towards potential report changes or new things to add. But super beneficial, especially with really large models, to gain more insights without moving a bunch of data around as well.
Yeah. This is a story that I use fairly frequently with clients. It's just talking about like, hey, you have data, you're building models already. And I talk about it as, I call it part of the three-legged stool. There's like three ways that I see you using the model to support various reporting outlets. One of them is Power BI, so that Power BI can do the visual portion of it as well as modeling the data. So, you know, Tommy's point earlier, we were joking around, but Power BI is more than just a visualizations tool. It's a data modeling tool. In addition to that, it also does visualizations. So once the model's there, it's very key. And then from the model, can produce an Excel report, and so, or an Excel pivot table. So you can directly connect. It's kind of cool because Excel's been doing this for a while. I mean, Excel's been connecting to cubes and multidimensional cubes, and it's just kind of part of the program. So that's one of the three. The one of the legs is Power BI. One of the legs is Excel. And then I use more now. I've been people haven't quite grabbed onto this concept yet. I mean, I talk about it a lot, but it doesn't seem like people are building this yet. But when they need large table extracts of information, I like pushing them towards paginated reports. So that's the SSRS side of things. But all three of those things can have the same data model, the same story of the truth, which is, I think, is really a strong story there.
And they're making it easier and easier now for you to actually connect your Excel file to Power BI. Previously, if you wanted to analyze in Excel,
yes,
you had to download a certain driver or basically like an actual file,
yes,
that allowed you to do it. Now, and they just came out with the blog, I think last week, where it just connects to OneDrive. It opens in OneDrive.
Correct.
So there's nothing to download.
And it's, if you want to actually analyze, automatically connected to the data set, which is
right,
really a big move here, because now, I mean, that's the holy grail, right?
Right.
Refresh the data set. Excel just automatically gets new information from there immediately in a browser.
Right.
You don't need to install anything. I think this, to me, this is where, Tommy, I'm just telling you right now, you're doomed, man. It's just over. The fact that the cloud is happening, like, it's, everything is going to be built in a browser at
what
some
is
point.
The cloud?
This is another indication. Yeah.
I think the cloud is just another way to say on-premise up.
It's in the cloud, man.
It's in the cloud.
Well, but the other thing is too, is with obviously, yes, you can use the Excel, but it doesn't work as well. And I'll keep saying that. So that's another, we'll have that conversation on episode 200 and where we are with the cloud, maybe 150.
Wait, I'm going to catch your moment. Your comment there. You said the Excel online version doesn't work as good as the desktop one, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I there are limited features, but I've been impressed. They have been very rapidly closing the gap on features between the two. So that's where I feel like the effort is being spent right now. I don't think you can write Visual Basic macros in the cloud. That's just not going to happen. But most everything else that you can do, pivot tables, connecting to data sets. One of the things I will say is that they don't have yet that I really wish they had. I don't like filling out cells with work. Like, if you're going to write comments about things, you can make a comment on a cell, which is okay. I'm cool with that feature. But if you're writing like large blobs of text inside Excel, I really like using the text box feature, because then I can just move it on top of the cells. Extract, open or insert more cells, it doesn't kind of mess up the text. I don't have to span across multiple cells. I really like writing large blocks of text inside text boxes. And that's something I can't do online right now, which is very frustrating to me. Like, why don't they just make that happen?
Far behind. Well, the other thing too, and I think a lot of people forget this in the story for analyzing Excel, where you don't have to download from Power BI to analyze in Excel. All you have to do is just go to the data tab and say connect to Power BI.
Yep.
The data sets will show up and it's the same experience. So, but I think, I don't know where I stand with analyzing Excel in terms of the story. Is it a cool feature? Yeah. But I, for myself, I haven't seen a lot of amazing use cases of one of the terms that we've used in the past in the wild, right? Where this is utilized at the company, this is what it's been taught, and this is what a normal workflow for consumers are, is to use Analyze in Excel. To me, it almost falls in some of the AI features where this is really neat, but maybe you may have to convince me, Mike, on where does this fit in terms of a real consumer story?
I don't have to convince you if you just don't know what's true. I mean, come on. It's great. It's a great feature. No, it's teasing.
No, it is a great feature. So is automated insights.
Well, I wouldn't even put those on the same plane. Not even close. So let me, I think there, so my opinion here is the fact that there's analyzing Excel is amazing. I really like the feature. Definitely helps out when you're talking about creating more elaborate reporting elements. It's also interesting when you start thinking about the intersection between Excel and modeling, because Excel can model things just the way Power BI can. You have the ability of making data tables. You have Power Query. There are differences between the Power Query in Excel and Power BI. And so you get the newer version of Power BI, I think, with Power BI versus Excel. There's some differences there that can be kind of annoying if you jump between both tools. However, what I would say, though, is whenever you have the larger majority of the audience that it's coming to Power BI, I feel like they're coming from this place of I've been using Excel for all these years. And that's kind of that story resonates with me, because that's kind of how I was. I didn't come from the SQL DBA side. That's more of Seth's story. I came from the I love Excel. I'm doing all these things in Excel. Power Query is saving me tons of time. This is incredible. And then I started getting introduced to Power BI and thought, oh, my gosh, now I can click on visuals on a page and they all intersect and they change and it's dynamic. To me, that blew my mind. And that's what hooked me. So I was coming from the Excel space and then adopting Power BI as part of my tool stack that I need to use. So that's just kind of to have the analyze Excel there is a comfortness, a comfort zone.
So I do want to drill into that a little bit, right? Because you're right. Like my experience and background is heavily in enterprise systems.
Yeah.
When I think about my use cases for Excel, right, I typically end in a pivot table, right, which very, very, very good. Yep. For a conversion of using Analyze in Excel more heavily. But I also find myself modifying, tweaking, and adding additional columns and data from source systems rapidly, right? So
yes,
typically it's in a discovery mode or analysis that I'm typically using Excel, right? So I'll dump something out from a system, realize I didn't grab two or three columns, have to re-import it, but I don't have to regen my pivot tables as long Correct. As my same columns are the same. So the first thing that strikes me is you would have to do some of that upfront work from a modeling perspective to have the appropriate columns for somebody to interrogate and use Analyze in Excel efficiently, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Everything needs to be predefined. You can't create DAX and analyze in Excel. You can do MDX all day long.
You can do MDX. I think you can make calculations.
The universal language.
Yeah, right. Nope. You can't make calculations in there, I believe. I think you can define calculations inside Excel by using it's called something different, but I think you can.
No calculated fields, no calculated items.
But you can make them as if you were in a pivot table.
No.
I'm not sure about that answer.
Let me get my state card out and
so there are pieces of this too. So where you have again, depending on what kind of modeling you're doing, like somewhere in the financial space, right? The financial space seems to use this fairly frequently, right? We have all this information coming from a source system. And so when you're talking about just getting access to the data, like that's to me, yes, you're right. You have to have explicit measures everywhere. So some of my counter argument to those things would be, well, if you have a whole bunch of implicit columns showing up anyways, you realistically shouldn't have them to begin with, right? So you should start with hiding those or turning off the auto summarization of those columns. You really should be making measures on those things already out of the gate. And if you're using something like Tabular Editor 2, creating columns that should be measures, sum of or average of various columns, that should be your first step anyways in a model. You should just go in, get that stuff right out of the gate. And that should, regardless whether you're using Excel or not, you should make your model is better designed when you have those things. So yeah, go ahead.
So one of the things that strikes me from a previous episode, a couple episodes ago, that I think resonates with me in this thought pattern, right? Analyzing Excel isn't the raw analysis.
Mm-mm.
It can't be, right?
No, I don't think so.
It's not the original. It's the initial exploration into a data set or a back end. Like, people would still need access to, you know, a large swath of information to be like, okay, I'm gonna go look at sales by this person, by that category, by this thing, whatever the case may be, dump it out and rip through it in order to understand like a report that would be very useful for them, right? I think where this does fit in, and I haven't seen a lot maybe, is, Tommy, we were talking about the improving the report request process, mm-hmm. right? And data access in general, like if somebody's coming to you with a report request initially and they've done maybe some preliminary things, but they don't know what kind of report they want, this would be a really good step in to say, like, oh, hey, I already have a model, right?
Yes.
What you need to do is go connect to this model, right? Mm-hmm. Here are the columns you're looking for.
Yep.
Dump it out and analyze in Excel and create some visualizations or pivots or things that you would find useful to like generate some ideas around, like, what's the type of data that you want to look at?
Yes.
How do you want to see that form? Like, have them do the legwork of figuring out what visualizations are possible, mm-hmm. and not looking at raw data and raw data dumps, because if they want that, then they can just have Report Builder, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just a dump. But this, to me, would speak to that data access layer, or potentially, like, the ideal is that it exists in a model, but you could easily spin up a model and shoot that out the door, right? And have them connect and go do their legwork and play, and then figure out how or if those columns would be something that you would add to a different model. Or, like, I'm just trying to think, like, what is the lowest friction point that you could shape some data for somebody without having to go through all the bells and whistles? And this kind of speaks to me.
And that, I don't even know if that's the lowest friction. I think that may be one. I actually surprised I've never thought about that in terms of part of the report request process from the discovery side, because it's all available and easily accessible. No, I absolutely see that as maybe something I start writing down today in terms of going through that process, because I think maybe it's the mindset of how I'm thinking of analyzing Excel that's been the problem. It's not you, it's me, so to speak. but in terms of, like, you know, does it exist for each consumer? Does it exist so you can do the report or you can do analyzing Excel? Well, maybe that's not the story. But to your point, you already have the data model. And again, the limitations for me are, you need to have a clean model, because as soon as you don't have a clean model, if you have your own little personal model with your 25 tables and you haven't hidden everything, a consumer is not going to be able to navigate that. And you might have your own names for the columns. That immediately becomes a turnoff point, or just a blockage, not something you're going to train someone on. But going through and someone needs that ad hoc, that general request, well, you can pull that and analyze in Excel.
Yeah, exactly.
So
part of this is like, hey, there's two requests that are happening here, I believe. There is, I need a report to be actionable. That's kind of mm-hmm. one request. I need something to kind of pre-bake my analysis, right? I have, there's a specific question that I need to answer over and over again. That is a report, right? What are my sales? What is tracking the sales by salesperson, right? That is a very common question you're going to ask over and over again. The nuanced part of that is there's always these other requests that I just need access to the data. I just need to give me the information. I want to export everything. And I would say, instead of going to Power BI and grabbing a large table that's very wide and then exporting that to Excel, a CSV file, a more efficient way, Tommy, to your point there, is, I think where you're going with this is, go right to analyze in Excel. Like, that is now providing you secured access to a data set that we can automatically load every night, all the time. And so I think that removes a lot of friction away from people. Actually, Steve Campbell, I think it was when we were doing we were still doing like real in-person user groups. Steve Campbell did a really good example of pre-building a pre-connected Analyze and Excel sheet for users. So there are use cases around where, hey, you want to pre-build a pivot table or you have data, you need to see it in a certain way. Steve did a great example, and this is on the YouTube channel. I think it's actually very far back. I'll have to go find the link for it. But he did a great example of pre-building an Excel sheet, putting a whole bunch of really rich pivot tables inside the model. It's already there, ready to go. And he then captured the link and then added the link as a downloadable link inside the Power BI file. So the idea being, on SharePoint, you can go put this Excel file that's already linked to the data model. And so any user who's working in the report, like, oh man, I need access to this data, you can actually click export this data or analyze an Excel button inside the report, which will then download a pre-designed analyze an Excel file that has all the pivot tables the way it needs to go.
See, this makes a lot of sense too. And Kevin makes a point of that as well, like a pre-configured exploration tool of the model. So somebody has, like, somebody who knows that there's more behind the scenes than just the tables that you're presenting, right? And that's going to be any business user as they start to engage with a report, right? It's solving some of their problems. They know their business area, but it broadens the scope of what's available to them.
Yes.
And allows, like, that data discovery.
Correct.
Right behind the scenes of that.
Yep. And there's always, you're going to have a million needs for people, right? It's going to be a ton of, like, everyone has these very nuanced questions. It's going to be a different lens on how you want to look at the information. And at least you have this single starting point.
Yeah. You're going to say it or?
Oh, go ahead.
I know what you're going to say.
No, that was the key point. That was also something we talked about too.
Yeah.
Which is what do you do with all the people that are asking, like, give me this in report.
Ad hoc.
Give me this
ad hoc
in the report.
Yes.
Let me throw it in a pivot table. That just becomes part of my link.
Right.
Correct.
See, by the way, quick shout out to Kevin. He is now officially a Microsoft MVP.
Yes.
Hey,
Kevin, welcome to the club.
Yeah, welcome. So congratulations. That's well exciting, deserved.
Man. Well deserved.
With all the user groups. So
I've learned a lot from Kevin.
Done.
Yeah. It's been very encouraging to me. So Kevin, I appreciate it and glad you're in the club. Congratulations.
A lot of work.
Huge news.
Yeah. So everyone
should have opened that, man. Jeez.
We didn't know he was on the chat
halfway
through.
Yeah. Well, the sad point, this is a story I want and analyze in Excel, right? Like what Steve has done, what Kevin has talked about, like these ideas of these already predefined pivot tables that people are utilizing reoccurring, right? Yes. Where it's not just this ad hoc, but I've seen the demos. Right. And I've seen that it looks really cool, but I don't see that actually really playing out. And maybe someone has never done a good job or that's not been part of the adoption roadmap for an organization. But I haven't seen or heard or seen success, even when we've tried to push certain things, of it really being a viable solution. And I think that's, I want it to be that. And that's why maybe I've been more hesitant towards it.
So
because I haven't.
What I would ask is if, again, this is maybe a question I would just propose. I have a feeling, I have a theory around that exact comment, Tommy. If you went to your users who are using Power BI today and do they have access to, you share via apps, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask a question just to make sure I'm clear. Is there a share, analyze an Excel button in an app? I don't remember.
I'm not entirely sure, but again, you can connect to it in Excel if you're already open in Excel, which we know our users are. So,
well, I guess maybe my point here is a little around, okay, depending on how you share things, right? So if you're in a workspace, it's not too buried. It's kind of buried to a degree, to a little bit, but it's also not very easy to find the feature. So I have a theory around, I think more people would use it. Okay, someone is saying, yes, there is a button for that. So I have a theory around more people would use it if they knew what was there and understood how to leverage it in an appropriate way. And so I feel like there's an educational piece here that we, as the report developers, maybe have done a little bit of disservice to, where we try to think through things as a report always, instead of saying, well, let me build you a two-part thing here, where it's, let me build you the report. This is a couple things. Here's the key questions we're trying to answer. And by the way, if you need some ad hoc connection analysis, here's another Excel thing that you can go use to do your analyzing, or you know, I just need access to the data. And then you can kind of quantify those questions. Oh, you know, hey, I need to answer this question. You know, let's talk about sales numbers over time. Okay, great. Well, that's a report level thing. And then they start asking all these other questions like, well, I need to filter down to this very specific product for this very specific region for this very specific customer. Like, well, I can't build a report to do all those things. That would be too much work. Here's an analyze an Excel thing. Go have at it, right? And maybe we should be thinking more around this. Like, this report is designed for these kinds of questions. And for everything else, here's your analyze an Excel connection. Maybe we should be more frontward thinking with that. I don't know.
So here's my counter arguments or my barriers to entry to that. I think one, you're relying on the first thing you said, you're relying on someone to understand the data model or be comfortable with that, to know what columns to pick and to know what measures to pick based on the names that you've been defined. So that's already an assumption that you would already have, yes. Right?
Yeah.
Which again, I'm going to argue is probably the biggest barrier. Number two, what is the analyze Excel? What are they going to be grouping by that the report's already not doing, right? Because you probably already have in the report, like your main based on product category, right? So what are they grouping by? Because again, they can't define measures. They can't do anything customizations.
But it's the argument. It's the argument of, I need to see the data. Like, let me see the table. But I can't trust it yet.
You can't though.
So the intersection of this conversation is probably why it's not widely used. Right. Or as big as we may think it is. Right.
Yep.
Because Tommy, you're right. The assumption that people know what, like, one, that the button's there, right. Or two, that when they can connect to the model, they actually know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Without some guidance is a big leap. Right. For some people. Mm-hmm. So like, of course it's not going to be widely used, but then on the other side of that, to Mike's point, like as report developers, I think we are more focused on, we know the data, we know, like, we'll build the report, we'll build it in there and gloss by the potential use cases for analyze in Excel, which I think is, right? So we're at the intersection of, should this be part of our report build solutions? Right. And maybe, because if you think about some of the discovery conversations that you have, right, around reports, keying in on the insights, what are the things that you want in this report? There's a lot of parking lot stuff, mm-hmm. right? Stuff that just comes out of the same data. It's just viewed separately in different ways, or somebody, you know, wants to, you know, have their particular, you know, use case, but it's not relevant to the overall report. Like, to me, there are a bunch of those like one-off things where I really like this idea of having a link in the report, right? So it's a curated thing that you're pre-building an analyze in Excel, you know, link for them that exposes some of this underlying different variations of ways you could potentially look at the data, but it's not relevant enough for the report, or it also prompts them and allows them to go do their own thing with examples that are already in there. I really like, so it's almost a curated exploration or analysis tool on top of the Power BI report. And I think maybe that is the niche for it.
So,
because it's not the Wild West, right? Because we talked about that. It's not the wild discovery. It could be useful for, you know, people to understand a model, but how often are they going to do that without a little guidance? And maybe that's the dual function of utilizing that as an avenue to build that piece into the reporting, you know, so people have reference for it.
So let me propose this, this is an actual, not a gotcha question. One, I'm not smart enough to do those types of questions to think that far in advance, but it's a true question. Tell me the difference and the pros of analyzing Excel versus the data set hub or the data hub, where you can do a self-service ad hoc report. Because if for the consumer, if I'm trying to get this quick ad hoc,
because they don't know how to build anything.
I mean, I think
you're saying like build my own custom visual.
Well, no. Like, so in Power BI service, you can connect to a data set and you have the canvas available to you with the model, the same model you would have analyzed in Excel. And I am assuming I would put more faith in a consumer being able to put a bar chart together than to use analyze in Excel. with the columns, everything on the right-hand side. So what's the difference?
I completely disagree with that, right? And the funny thing is like the opener of this,
yeah,
right? We're talking about people who know their jobs really well.
Correct.
If I show you analyze in Excel and you see a pivot table,
happy
for a business user, to Mike's point,
yeah,
they know how to work with that.
This is my point though, is I feel like a lot of people I'm working with, they're coming out of a comfort area of, I'm already comfortable in Excel. Like, I just need the information. I can't get the tables of data that I want. How do I get those into whatever analysis that I'm doing? And so I think, to me, that's another point here that's like, wow, it adds one less barrier of friction. And when I show this to people, again, you may not use it all the time because I think you find more value from coming out of Power BI, but you're coming from a place of, I'm already comfortable in Excel. I can already make my pivot table. I can add my slicers. People are very capable there and can get around and make what they can get stuff done, even though it may not be as beautiful as Power BI or is as well designed as Power BI. But I think you need to spend more time, like if you don't know what you're looking for, it's harder to build a Power BI report, right? So when I scope out a Power BI report, I spend a ton of time thinking about what are we going to put on the page, how many insights, what's the navigation story between the different pages of the report. So it's an impactful, because we're going to spend time building this. I feel like this analyze and Excel piece of this simplifies this to a degree, right? I don't need to design, build everything. Here's all the information. Here's the tables. Here's the data. Build some stuff. Like, go discover what you want. And potentially from that Excel exploratory work, you come up with a, hey, here's a good bar chart that I like that works well. Let's add that to the report and describe how to use it, kind of thing.
I think the other thing to keep in mind here, though, is this isn't every report.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you have to think about the audience. This is the people who are going to be analyzing data, or really digging into the report, as opposed to you just showing here's the metric that you need to know to make a decision, right? Yeah. Leadership or management, whatever. Like, these are the BAs, the data analysts, the folks that are, you know, the buyers, the planners, the whatever folks, right, that are digging into data sets. I think where this would be most useful.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So we're immediately taking on like 80% of the company being able to use Analyze Excel based on that.
Now, I'm not 80%? Saying that.
I would say about 80% of the company.
Okay. Wait. Say that again. I'm not sure I understood your question.
Tommy thinks 80% of the company doesn't analyze data. So
yeah,
sales, marketing.
I would argue finance, to differ. I mean, I was
finance would be another good area for use case.
When I was at Johnson Controls, I worked at a part of in the business. We moved away from cubicles, so you were able to see into everyone's desk area, and you were able to we worked on like picnic benches, right?
Welcome to the picnic bench.
Yeah, it was a picnic bench. You had like a row of like eight people, and I literally remember there was a moment in time where I was walking through the department, and again, we were all different departments. This is like supply chain, manufacturing, marketing. Like, I walked down the aisle. And if someone wasn't in email, they were in Excel. It was literally the only two programs they were using. And I was walking down this, and I thought, I had this moment where I was looking at that going, this literally looks like we're in the industrial age. Instead of making parts and widgets and like physical product, we're now asking people to sit in front of a screen with Excel and push data around. Seriously, it was literally like a man.
Next moment is not gonna get out of here.
We were literally in a data factory. Like, it was like people in a row, all opened with Excel, doing different pushes and pulls and analysis, and everyone had Excel open. And I'm thinking to myself, walking down this data aisle, this is one of the reasons why I was like, I gotta do more data. Like, Power BI is gonna be like a game changer for this, because I looked at everyone inside Excel already going, oh my gosh, this other tool can simplify and auto load and refresh these data sets for me automatically. This is going to be huge. Look at how much I literally thought to myself, there is so much waste happening as I walk down this row, because everyone's doing a good thing. They're moving data around, but they're copy and pasting between Excel sheets all day long. And I thought, my goodness, this is a whole area ripe for innovation. Anyways, so I would disagree, Tommy. Pulling out Analyze in Excel, or I think your entire company, I would say more like 75% of your company already uses Excel at some degree.
All right.
If you want to listen more about what Mike's discussing in Virtuous Waste, you can check out episode 20. where we talk about that at length.
Was it 20?
Was it 20?
That's a commercial from Seth Bauer.
Wait, did we seriously do that episode 20?
Was that on episode 20? Yeah. Wow.
Man, we showed our hand early, so wow.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But yeah, that's
the same thing.
That was like, a good one.
So, yeah, man.
Well, I'll concede that. I'll concede that more people use it. But
Tommy, I want to give you some credit though. On the flip side of this, right? Everyone uses Excel. Not everyone knows how to use tables and pivot tables.
They don't
tables,
use Excel.
But they don't they use don't. Excel. Yeah. So I would agree with you, Tommy.
There was this thing called
respect.
Power Query that lived in Excel.
Oh my gosh, forever. Yeah. I mean,
and we were teaching it when we were teaching Power BI.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and a lot of times what I would do is I would make a very clear when Seth and I were teaching Power BI to companies, we would start with what version of Excel do you guys have? And they're like, Power BI. Why are you asking about Excel? They're like, oh yeah, 2016 Excel. I'm like, okay. Everything I'm going to show you, you can already do today with the tools you already have.
So you guys are aware of this, right?
And everyone's like, no. Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of missing pieces there that people didn't even know was existed.
The first couple engagements were fun. All right, you got 2016. So Power Query, you know this. Let's move forward. And they're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, okay. There goes that agenda. Like, let's.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's focus on Excel.
So
where you live every day.
Well,
That's also the difference, by the way. Like, segue to people looking for Power BI jobs. People who say they know Power BI.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing. I know Excel.
Yeah. Do you?
Did you know this thing was there? This feature that would have unlocked your world.
If I'm gonna pay you to know Excel,
right?
Exactly.
How well do you know it?
Exactly right.
Can you hang or can you hang? Well, no. So I'll concede that probably more people use Excel, but I think that the comfortability with using and analyzing Excel or using a pivot table, usually it's their own exported or very basic pivot table. It's one table if they're using a pivot table, right? They didn't create something in Power Pivot. So when they first look at a model created, I guarantee you that's going to be I don't guarantee you, but I feel very confident that as soon as they see a table with all these measures and the way Power Pivot organizes a data model.
I'm going to roast you on this one. Keep going, Tommy. Dig your hole deeper. Go ahead, buddy.
Dig
this hole.
So, just let it.
So
let it
you has your measures. It creates two tables, basically, or at least two views. So you have your measures in one. Like, you'll say you had sales in one. It'll say sales and then these little icons that are as a measure. And if you've never used a measure before, the heck is that? And then underneath all of your measures, there's going to be all your fields and dimensions. And it's what you see is what you get. I might use a perspective, but I don't know. I can tell you off the top of my head, but it's going to be that Renaissance raw back end of the model. Mm-hmm. So it's looking at it's like you open the hood of the car. It's not like you're driving it. So please.
All right.
Please.
So if your model is so complex that you don't want to hand it over to people in Excel, do you really have a good model? Have you really done the data engineering work and homework that you need to get it to be a nice, easy to use star schema? And I would argue that even if you're going to expose that, the same challenge will exist whether you're giving to a Power BI or Excel at that point, because the data model is going to be, if you're a complex data model, it's going to be just as hard to work with when you're working in Power BI. There's no easier way of getting around that. So, I would argue that in this case, data modeling in this world would be it's very important that you use folders and describe things with descriptions and add a whole bunch of extra things around there, because you really do need to document that model to a much higher degree, because someone else is going to consume it. And anytime that happens, you automatically get to start thinking about, how do I simplify this model more so that it is easier for people to consume, right? You're not putting complex calculations in there. You're not using you're not adding a lot of extra measures without putting folders around them so they can understand what, hey, these are all the time-based calculations. If you're using calculation groups, that might be too confusing for end users to consume in your reports. So you need to think of other ways of how you're going to rapidly create or manage a lot of those other measures and things that are going to be in your model. So
what do you think of this? So the other thought I had here is there a use case where, I mean, the output is analyzed in Excel, but if we think about how we build those models, Mike, to your point, right? You're streamlining things to be super efficient. It's only pulling in the data that we're going to use. But there's a lot of other data in the systems mm-hmm. that you may not know whether or not there is a use case for, right?
Yep.
So is there a path in here where you actually have a model that has like a lot of the relevant columns to the business, but you just limit, you know, the amount of data, like you only store a week or something, right?
Totally could do that.
Or to the effect where it's not going to be the most efficient thing in the world, but right. you've opened the door for people to access and play around or, you know, gain at least, you know, near-term data
yep.
out of the source systems in a model that you know is not efficient, but it would be like the iteration of how do you know what you would want to include in your more refined model that supports a lot more of your reports.
Yes.
Right. Because then you actually have the stepping stone too on the back end and the front end where you're kind of iterating towards, you know, is it worth adding this thing into the model? Is there enough value in, you know, for the business or, you know, do I need to start building a bunch of reports off of it, et cetera?
Now you're telling a story that I like. Because to Mike's point about having the clean model, well, I think a lot of the cases of using Analyze Excel is going to be some gold data set. It's going to be some source of truth that's going to be kind of large. What would really help with that story, and I think to your point, Seth, is, and I think Kevin said this too, there's a thing called perspectives that is available that you can create in Tableau Editor.
I saw that.
That ability, and again, I don't think that's on by default because you have to enable it. If that ability... Because you're going to have, no matter what model you have, you're going to have odd column names or those extra columns, especially if it's a gold data set. Mm-hmm. But that ability to create a perspective, like a sales, you know, sales op perspective mm-hmm. or the, you know, the sales engineer perspective or the sales manager perspective, just to give them what they need. We know users can easily get overwhelmed. To show them those columns is a phenomenal story
yes.
for this.
Yes. I think there the whole this high idea of perspectives and being able to pare down the information I think is a great win. I don't think it does it today,
right?
But I definitely could see that being an advantage where Excel can take advantage of these perspectives. You could change the perspective and remove away, like, you don't need all these measures. These columns are not relevant. These tables are not going
to
help you
you as the consumer. Correct. As who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. On the other hand, too, Seth, I'll go to your point as well. I think there's actually a part of our process that should be around. That, hey, we don't know what we don't know yet. I'm going to connect to some data from a source system. I'm just going to provide you access. And I think of the two options, I think I would prefer creating at least a data model in PowerBI.com and then sharing that model directly to Excel users. And you can also, honestly, you can go the other route too. You can create a data model in Excel, and I believe you can also publish that data model right into PowerBI.com. So you can go connect to data sources, get some tables of information together, mm-hmm. link them up and say, here you go, business user. We haven't had the full discussion around what the report needs to look like yet. Here's the information. Go play around with it. Like, get familiar with the data. Go make some pivot tables. Is the information good? Do we have something clean? Is there problems with it? Right? They're the subject matter experts of the information. This is an easy way for them to model a very quick model and... You know, to your point, Seth, give them a month, give them a half a year, like whatever, give them a limited amount of information, say, start here, tell me what works. And they can iterate quicker than I can on what is valuable to their business team. And then from there, you can then take the insights from that and say, okay, maybe we come back from that and say, let's take another step back and say, okay, of this information, what do we want to automate directly into Power BI?
Is that part of your question, Seth? Because I think I answered, or I think we both kind of answered it, but, or were you referring to something else?
Or we may be just totally off.
Or, yeah, that usually is the case.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, so, I agree. I think it's part of the process. I think it's part of, it adds, it may not be something I use all the time, but it adds flexibility. And when I communicate this, bar none, most of the people that I talk to about this, they're excited about this, regardless. Mm-hmm. Showing them Analyze in Excel, showing that I can get there, they're like, oh, good. At least I can get to the data in table form the way I'm used to and interested in and regularly working on it.
So, and I think for me, my the barriers to entry, and I think what would really help me with the story, one, I think what we initially said, I am going to start pushing in terms of having these data sets where I have three tickets today that I can probably finish because I can just do this in analyzing cell, give them a number. And if they say, I need a report, well, we'll say, oh, this is a general request. And since we've just implemented our tiered approach to our levels.
As, right.
Yeah. This podcast, man, helps in all ways. But having that, I think I can answer like three questions just doing an Excel. I don't need to connect to a data model or into a Power BI report. But what would really help if I want this more, we'll call a global view of analyzing Excel, where I can say, hey, consumers, this is a viable solution. We can build this for you. Is I think the perspective is a huge part. Mm-hmm. And just that alone, because then I can have one model that can have these different views. Whether I, because I don't want to create three models for the three different teams of users. That mm-hmm. is all the same data.
Yes.
I'm not going to do that. Like, because I don't think that's going to be a huge help, but that's my barrier to me. But I think right now the best use case is the one Seth said in the beginning, when it comes to the little more ad hoc from the analyst point of view, and also helping the user like, hey, you said you want this. I built this pivot table for you. You can filter. Does this answer what you need?
Yes, exactly. So, right. I think that's a great starting point.
Yeah, I don't think there's any reoccurring or redundancy like Excel tables that just live where people will be accessing.
I mean, there's even some interesting parts here too. Once you start doing this whole Excel connecting to a data set piece, I mean, why not allow you to add a page of Excel in your published app? I mean, there's also like tables are, we all have acknowledged tables in Power BI, not cool. Like they're just not as easy to use. You can't filter them as well. You just have a lot of limited controls. So why not, when people are asking for pages of data or information about tables of data, put it in a pivot table, add a slicer to the page. You can still do some very basic things there. And now you have the richness of Excel embedded into your application.
That's a great point.
So like there's a gap that's being filled there that I think we could leverage more. I don't think I leverage enough as it is. Cause again, I'm more focused on like building reports specifically for clients, but it says that you couldn't leverage that as well.
Yeah. Well, I think I like Andy's point. So you better have ability to export this. This is all too complex. Can't we just export?
I mean, if you think about what Microsoft is doing anyways, at the end of the day, I mean, one feature we didn't talk about was...
say export. Nothing in his comments said export.
This all sounds too complex. Can't we just let users export to Excel?
And mash up their own reports?
We export could. To Excel and mash up their own reports. Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
I misread it.
One thing we could also look at here is there's another option here that another area when you have a Power BI data set, you can register an enterprise data type with Excel users. So this is another one that kind of blows my mind, and I don't know if this is used very well. This is maybe not analyzing Excel the exact feature here, but it's something so similar. Better. So the idea is you can have a data set or table, and you can. I think it's in Excel. You can then create a table of information, like let's call it product master. Mm-hmm. That table of information, whatever that may be, you can register that as a data type inside your organization. And what that does is inside Excel, when you have the little data types drop-down menu in Excel, you can pick company product information. And I think it was on the Power BI show that Microsoft put on, episode one, where Tommy and I were helping out with goals, Belinda Allen did an amazing demo of this feature. She went out, she made a table, she was able to add data types to her Excel document and was able to use it as a lookup field that was able to resolve data back in Excel from a master data set. And this is a core problem that we have across your company. Who maintains and manages that master data set? But how do you distribute that to everyone? How does everyone get the same information in all of their reports? And I think this is another good example here where I see Microsoft blurring the line between these data sets, data models, information across the company. It's trying to break down those data silos, which we talked in what episode? Where was data silos, Seth? What episode? 103, 104?
That was recent.
That was recently.
104.
but that's another example of like where we can leverage this technology piece. I think it's another good feature there.
There's definitely I don't want to say a better use case. That's something actually I utilize all the time is these data types predefined in Power BI to verify, because if we're looking at like product codes, right? To your exact example,
yep.
We have like a master product table data set in Power BI.
Correct.
And I'll verify the product codes to say, okay, do all the prices match up with what other person has? Because yep. It does that direct connection. So, but I think that's a conversation.
That's a great example though. Because now you're now publishing the proper, like, this is the company looks at these prices. This is the pricing that we use at a corporate level. Everyone can use these numbers. Someone's looking at it. It's maintained, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone can rely on that number. And I think this is a great point. Now you can start pulling those numbers into any report anywhere you want. And it makes it easier for you to like absorb that information and test things.
I'm going to put that in our Trello board because I think that can be a whole conversation on the different. I don't think that's utilized nearly enough.
I've played with it a little bit, but I haven't built any real examples around how to leverage that. Mm-hmm. And so that would be something I would want to figure out how to incorporate more into my workflow is how to regularly use that to add value. That's another good one there too. I like it a lot. Other things around analyzing Excel. Oh my gosh. Are you serious? Looking at the time, how long we've been online.
Yeah. Yeah. How about final thoughts?
How about final thoughts?
There's for analyze on Excel.
The lull happened right at the right time. We were right at an hour.
We never have lulls.
I'm not going to push it. There's probably more topics to hear. We'll come back for another one. I think it sounds like data types in Excel and connecting those. That, you know, how to do that, what that looks like. That would be another really relevant one. Seth, your wife would probably love that one. You start making. Yeah,
sky's the limit, man.
Initially, that sounds like such a put down until you realize the beginning of this conversation. Yeah, exactly. Your mom likes Power BI and Excel. Yeah,
your wife likes Excel and Power BI.
I think overall, it's been an enlightening conversation because I think the strongest use case I hear coming out of here is that it should be part of a potential report build solutions where we're thinking more actively about how our end users are engaging and could utilize pivot tables and analyze data a little bit more as part of, you know, a link into a guided experience in analyzing Excel. Hmm. And overall, like there's other, you know, use cases where it's kind of a grow up story or an evolution for a tiered approach of model building and potentially, you know, build quick ads for different views on the same data sets and even like maybe documentation references, right? Like stick and analyze in Excel to answer those questions with dynamic data.
Yep.
Because it's all RLS enabled, right?
It is. So
it would just auto work.
Yep. They can't see data they shouldn't see. I like that one. I guess my final thought or wrap up for me would be is while I know I tout Excel and I have good. I can speak to it, analyze in Excel and how it's working. I think it will be more interesting to incorporate it more into the apps that I produce. So when there are apps that we're producing for people or clients or an audience, thinking about how can I incorporate more Power BI or the Excel portion into that space. And I think to your point, Seth, as well, there's probably a really good use case here around just letting them connect to the data and saying, here, I've pre-built you an Excel file. Here it is. This is the information. Tell me what's valuable. Let's go through it together. Let's figure out what's going to be relevant for you guys to make decisions on from that initial Excel sheet. That's one I'll take away for me. Tommy?
Yeah, for me, it's not a universal solution where this is something that we roll out with every data set and every team.
Agreed.
But there are these, I'm not going to say niche, but I'll say these specific use cases, especially for saving time for the analyst team to easily give an ad hoc number because we have all the data available already and predefined that we can access. And I can easily give a number or help the user say, hey, I built a pivot table for you. Does this help answer what you need? If not, or if so, great, we're done. We'll close it out. If so, let's explore this to see what else you really need. And can this be built from our previous episode into a next level report? And then the other side of this is, I don't see this as a universal solution right now, but if there are more enhancements, and we know they're coming, I think this can become more of the adoption story with perspectives, with being able to create your own calculations. I don't just think we're there yet.
I think you're right, but I think we're seeing the right level of engagement or investment from Microsoft to keep this stuff moving forward.
I agree.
I like it. I think it's good. Awesome. Well, with that, we've burned a perfectly good hour with us. We appreciate your time. I hope you've learned some interesting things around analyzing Excel. Maybe you can use this more in your organization. We appreciate your time for this. And our only ask, with all this free content we produce and the jokes that we give you for free, they're very dad jokey in general in nature. Our only request is, please just go ahead and share this with somebody else, a coworker, someone at work, your spouse maybe even, would be a good place to share this information with, because you never know. They may be liking analyzing Excel here these days. Anyways, please just share this. And if you want to listen to the podcast, where else can you find the podcast, Tommy?
So if you're listening live right now, make sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Overcast, anywhere you do. And if you are listening, leave a rating, 5-star rating. Spotify and Apple support this, so it really helps us out.
Yes, please.
And if you're listening, you want to join the conversation. Yeah, there's a fun chat. Subscribe to Power BI Tips on YouTube and LinkedIn and Twitter. And just follow when our new episodes come out live at 7:30 a.m. Central, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Awesome. Well, thank you all very much. We appreciate you. Have a great week, and we'll see you on Thursday.